Pop that up. Pop that up.
Okay, let's finish this. Can we finish this, please?
I'm not a crow.
This crow's never going to shut up, so let's get it done.
Welcome to the Dead Zone Podcast. Dead Zone is the sci-fi tabletop miniature skirmish game from Mantic Games. And now, here are your hosts, Rob Harper and Jack Fike. I am your announcer, William Randolph Wintergreen.
Welcome to the 40th episode of Dead Zone the Podcast for late August 2015. In this episode, we round up our rules discussion and get into the command rules for the Warpath Alpha. As always, you can go to deadzonegame.podbean.com to see all the pictures, or you can go to youtube.com/c/deadzonethepodcast for the video version of the show. And now on to the episode.
Welcome to another episode of Dead Zone the Podcast, episode 40 for late August, the end of summer 2015. I'm Rob.
And I'm Jack.
And we missed summer already.
The very brief window of summer activity that we have is fast. It's fast meeting its twilight.
At least it's warm today. But we'll just get right into the news here. We got actually some news. Are you ready for the news, Jack?
News.
We begin with our first segment, the news.
So first things first, Mantic showed off a new Dead Zone concept logo they're thinking about. And it's similar, but it's just colored in, kind of. And it does bring up the point that the old one was kind of bland. It was just black and white. And this one's got some excitement going on.
Yeah, that one looks like some sort of industrial spaceage. But, you know, it's just a logo.
It's just logos are important for brand recognition. Mm. I think it's got a little bit of a Terminator feel to it.
It does. It has a little bit of like a derelict spacecraft appearance.
It does have some of those things. And also, they showed off some more of the industrial terrain from the upcoming Kickstarter release for Infestation. And it's looking good. Looking industrial.
And if you want to follow along and take a look at these pictures with us, you can find us on podbean.com.
deadzonegame.podbean.com.
And yeah, it's more of those tubes that we're accustomed to seeing. It seems like that's one of the themes, the pipes. A couple of different railings and looks like some different connectors. We'll be getting some of that with our our pledge. Quite a bit, actually, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I think it came with quite a bit, yeah. And then there's the one picture shows, like, it looks like more armor sections for the outside. The big pipe's cool. And then the second one has kind of all the different bits that you can see, like things you glue on the outsides, a lot of extra little pipes.
Conveyor belts, a big fan, some more tubes.
Yep, cool stuff.
Mix it up a little bit.
And Mantic also released a concept picture of the Asterion troop transport. We saw before like a tank-like thing, but this time it's a troop transport. Same similar aesthetics, very alien looking.
Yeah, it's got a kind of a Asterion look, but different. Those nacelles on the front, and it's different.
It's definitely different. And I don't know how it's a troop transport. Maybe it teleports troops in, or those things on the side, do the ciphers hang off them?
Maybe.
Yeah. Because it's
to scale, if those are things where the ciphers are docked on and they just drop off, yeah, then that'd be a giant piece of equipment.
Well, obviously, it's going to be for the probably for the Warpath Kickstarter, it looks like. So it is interesting. It kind of reminds me of the Skimmer a bit.
Like I was saying, it looks the Asterion in spots, but other spots it looks like new and kind of.
Yep, and I like how they give you different angles so you can see the top view and the side view.
And it looks like it'll have a detachable turret where we can magnetize that bad boy.
Yep,
up.
Switch it up. And it looks like the turrets actually look like the ones you got on the other thing too. I wonder if that's the right scale. That'd be cool if you could just do the same ones off of the drone.
That would be interesting.
So you could just put on anyone you want. And, so that's all we have the news for this episode, and we'll get into the Mantic ad, and we'll be right back with a little bit of our rules discussion wrap-up.
A rules discussion wrap-up, yes.
You have been listening to the Dead Zone Podcast with your hosts Jack Fike and Rob Harper. The Dead Zone Podcast is dedicated to Dead Zone. the tabletop miniature game by Mantic Games. Visit them at manticgames.com.
Hey, this is Community Pat, and you are listening to Dead Zone, the podcast.
And welcome back. And as we were saying, this is a rules discussion wrap-up, because we pretty much covered everything. If there's anything we haven't covered that you're interested in talking about, drop us a line either on Twitter or deadzonepodcast@gmail.com.
This will be the culmination of our discussions on rules that we thought would be, could be tweaked in the next version. Ronnie had mentioned to us at Adepticon that there was going to be some changes, and we the ones he had mentioned, plus others we thought might be important, and we've discussed them all. Please, if this is the first time listening and you want to get up to speed, go back. We've been doing a long-running series. I think it was six or five different rules that we thought could be tweaked or changed or clarified. So let's get to it. What's the wrap-up?
Well, we'll start with how we started. It was the initiative. That was our original discussion there.
Which predates by quite a long time our discussion with Ronnie and this series. So we were pretty steadfast on what we thought would work, and it was...
And through some of our listeners sent us some suggestions.
Fan interaction did tweak our original... And make it better. And it has been playtested by Rob.
Yep, we'll get into that later because we'll talk about the battle report.
Oh, okay.
But so it's the initiative, how we have it right now, is 2D, each roll 2D8. And the person who didn't finish last gets another D8, so they get 3D8. And each roll under your command total, and for each roll under your command total is a success. And the person who has most successes gets initiative, and they can act first or pass. And ties go to the person who didn't finish last. There is ties.
So basically, the change goes from one side always knowing who's going to go first based on model count and who went last to a chance. And now with this a tweak, significantly more of a chance.
A little bit more, yeah.
That it could go either way, which means that people have to kind of have some tactics and plan and make sure they're not hanging their ass out.
Yeah. And in that battle report that I did with our friend Dave, I think we used this initiative, and I think over the whole game, one time, it wasn't how it should have been, which is probably good. That's probably a good percentage.
Yeah, it sticks with the flavor and the intended rules, but gives that little bit of excitement.
And the next thing is, the next thing we talked about was model speeds, and we decided that for that one, model should be given a speed set and can move that many squares on a short action or double on a long action. Nice and simple. Don't confuse it too much.
One sentence says it all right there. And the difference between that and what it stands is now there are skills involved with movement speed. There's no defined movement speed as a base. And this kind of says, okay, on the card, it'll be a simple number. You can see how many spaces they can move.
And it'll solve the problems of vehicles because you can give them a higher number.
Yes. I think it makes a very basic movement rule out of what got a little convoluted because of skills.
Mm-hmm. Well, originally they didn't think there was going to be vehicles, right? In the original concept for the game, there's no vehicles. So they thought, okay, one and two, it's only an 8x8 board.
Yeah.
But they never thought into the fact that, okay, once you get bikes and hover vehicles and...
And then you have to have...
Striders.
Yeah. Then, okay, you need fast, you need sprints, you need this, you need that. Mm-hmm. I think models given the speed, a speed stat is just so simple, but also from what we hear is stat lines are going to be...
So it would be that much harder to throw one in.
So it's almost like it would mesh so easily with what I think the new wave of rules is going to be.
I would hope they do this, but I don't think they... I don't know if they'll just make a new ability for vehicles to go faster or something, but I wish that they did it. This is the one I really wish they'd actually take it.
Really? Oh, so we're going to do like a, hey, I wish would it get adopted?
Yeah, we know the initiative's not going to change. Like,
no.
We just like it like that, but this one is one I really hope they would change.
Because I said right to Ronnie's face about initiative rules.
Yeah, and...
He didn't dismiss me outright.
No.
But...
Yeah, your initiative might change. It won't change what we're saying. It might change how it works.
Yes, he had some other ideas. He knew there was an issue. He knew there was a problem. He knew it was going to be addressed. It was just he went in another direction, and we've discussed that in the past, too.
Yeah. So yeah, so but for speed, they really needed to change something, and this is such a simple solution. If they're going to put stat lines in anyways, might as well throw in a speed.
Yes.
Or even a general, okay, if it's infantry, it's this speed. If it's a vehicle, it's this, you know, even like general stats, you know.
Already you're convoluting what I know, is such a perfect, that line right there says it all.
But if they didn't want to change so much, that's all. Because they already have all these, I guess if you're going to buy, then. Problem is, it's not Dead Zone 2. It's just, like, once they do Dead Zone 2, this might be something. The next one's just, you know. A small increment.
2.0.
Yeah. 1.0.
Or 1.5.
Yeah. Next thing is leadership. We did have some discussions about this, but we decided on that Jack's idea of getting rid of the battle cards, having command actions, a short action, so you can command and move. You can give models a long action, so you can make a sniper shoot again, which is something that they should be able to do. Harder to do the farther they are away.
Yes.
Which is that's a good way to do it. Make it a rule, like always, but make it harder, farther.
More successful.
If they're right next to you, it should be super easy for your leader to say, hey, do this. And no limit on use, because you're only playing, what, 8 rounds max. Like, leaders shouldn't be limited on, as long as they have the leadership, they're a leader, they shouldn't be limited on what they can do in man action.
The fact is that it has to use the command rules as the models, but also since we've eliminated the command cards, it also has to adopt that versatility and the mm-hmm. number of cards you use. So that I think makes it nice. Now this one we had to distill down. This one had some active discussion amongst us. The first two we were both kind of, we knocked that down and we were like,
and leadership we both agreed was broken as is. We just did both of us were on the opposite side of where it should go.
And
I agree that this works just as well as the other way.
This is a culmination of both of our thoughts into a kind of a working. Now we have not tested this one yet.
No, because this is a little bit harder to test because you have to get new abilities in the leadership thing. And
yeah, we haven't knocked out like a list of what short actions and what. Mm-hmm. But coming soon. We'll write out
an actual list of what, how many successes and things, what you get to do, and
get a couple games under our belt and see what we can.
I don't like another thing I don't like about leadership is that doubling and tripling thing. Like, or, you know, like,
It's one more thing on your cheat sheet that you have to keep referencing, whereas a success or fail is so simple, like, so many successes.
Or just, like, each one counts. Like, you have to activate an unactivated model, one success. It's easy. And if it's for every, like, 2 squares away, it's another success you need to do.
I think it was something like that, where I said the first 4 squares was your base, and then after that it was you needed an additional success every square away or something like that.
But just each different thing you can do costs a different amount of successes. I think Warpath's sort of like that for their leadership. So it would work kind of as a mesh between Warpath. Where, you know, the more successes you get, the more things you get to do. Not, okay, now you did this many successes, now here's a list of things.
Uh-oh.
I don't like how that works, I like just, like, it's a cost of successes for different, like, a list of things you could do, right? So the hardest thing would be to move a unactivated model 5 away or something. You'd have to get, like, you know, a lot of double eights or a lot
or
of eights.
Or move an activated model or mm-hmm. something like that. So have a sliding scale of successes okay.
And once again, I don't think they're going to change this. I've not heard any rumblings, but I think a lot of people want to change. A lot of people don't like the way that leadership works. Dead Zone.
It's
convoluted.
It's convoluted. It's functional in a gameplay sense, but as a narrative or having your leader on the board being the leader, but you're the leader because you have cards. And there's plenty of room for interpretation on changes that could be made. This one seems to be, for us, a happy medium of our thoughts on the sitch.
Yep. And next one is abilities. And we said to remove all abilities that are superfluous or just add or subtract dice to a roll. Because there is tons like Mutant and what was the other ones? Beast, I think, was one. There's a bunch that are just like, they're not even, there's no point in even having that as a thing. Like, it's,
yeah.
It should just not be it doesn't need its special thing. And then the ones like Brawler or those ones, you just have to put it in their command.
Again, a stat line. And that's one that Ronnie basically told us right to our faces that was going to happen. Our discussion was basically a exercise in futility as to what we thought would work because he was pretty solid on that.
Yeah.
There was no question there. He used the Terraton as a example.
Yeah.
He used Brawler as the skill that he was going to change to get into the stat line to
just
make
say
him
+2 fight or +1 fight.
So it's basically a done deal unless you know, who knows, that was That was a while ago. Yeah, and maybe
things change.
Else.
Yeah, it's a long time until January when this is coming out.
So. His brain is always working, and it could have cooked up a whole new system.
Plus, Jake Thornton's involved, so he'll be changing. You know, he's always thinking of things too. So, and the weapons obviously should still need their stats because some of the weapons are pretty complex about how they do. That's fine. Weapons, it's not everybody has them, so it's easy to be like you just have a stat thing.
What does blast do? Yeah. And it's right in the weapon description. Oh, yeah. Okay, that's what blast does. Yeah.
Well, blast is super complex. They got to fix blast. We should have talked about that. How to fix blast? That's way too complex to have to figure that out.
Maybe next week, because we haven't discussed this, but I was always thinking the grenades was one of the rules that if we had.
I never thought about it, but yeah, grenades is a terrible list. Rule.
So how about next we do a
weapon? We'll go over all the different
1.5 rules involving weapons or something for the next show.
Okay, we'll mark that in.
We'll pencil that in, and anyone who wants to get in on the ground floor and have that discussion with us,
let us know what weapons don't work for you, which ones you'd like to see new weapons, and we'll discuss some of the things we'd like to change. And blast is definitely one of them because it's really convoluted how that works.
Where
it's so easy, it could be just like, okay, it does this much damage, you know.
Weapons have skills. How would you change it? What would you do? What are you looking for? Yeah, okay. Good.
Next is cards. We keep mission and stat cards in the starter box because it's good to start with them.
Yep.
Later on, mission cards can be replaced with scenarios.
Right.
New scenarios. Stat cards are replaced with stat lines or a good army builder app, which I'm sure they're doing an army builder app for Kings of War. So I'm sure that Dead Zone will get one too. Eventually.
It's the wave of the future.
Yeah, army builder apps are definitely the wave. And battle cards are replaced by better command abilities, which we discussed earlier.
Yeah.
And that'll clean up your board quite a bit, and you won't have cards everywhere. You won't have a handful of cards you're trying to think of when you're trying to move miniatures and roll dice.
And again, this one, it's a three-pronged attack of, we already know some of that stuff right from Ronnie's mouth is going to be changed. What we thought individually, and we were pretty polar opposites on this, and what Rob just said as a final, like what we thought would be, that's again a distilled version of both of ours and some compromise, some happy medium. And as a house rule, I think it would be easy enough, like the stat cards being.
We don't use stat cards now as it is. We have a good army, we've talked about before, the army builder app, which it kind of prints out a sheet that has the stat cards on the sheet. You don't need stat cards.
So you can put your tokens right on them. It's nice. So, and again, this isn't a major switch of anything. Like, it's not
well, the major thing would be the missing battle cards. That's the only major.
But again, they have their place in the starter box. And after that, you're ready for different things. And the scenarios is the obvious way that they're going to be going with it. So that doesn't break the game. Not even barely alters the game, but I think there's room for that improvement.
Yeah, for sure. And lastly, it's balance we talked about. And it came down to certain factions, obviously the Rebs, just add more models to those factions to make them more competitive, to kind of even them out a bit. Fix point costs on overpriced mercs and weak factions. Reduce some points on them. But do not nerf the other factions to create balance. Why punish other people? Trying to fix them, just pull up the other ones.
Yeah, that it seems if you want it seems too fiddly to try and bring both ends to the middle
where you can push up one. Yeah.
One up, and I think like you mentioned the everyone knows the Rebs is underpowered.
Yeah.
And there's some other that they'll be seeing as time goes on, other deficiencies, what armies are always used and what combinations, people who have more gameplay than us, but I think we could most certainly say the Rebs and the Mercs.
Certain Mercs are overpowered or underpowered. Like, they got to fix the point cost on those Mercs.
And this is game balance. This is the one that we can't even house rule because it's kind of in the ether. It's kind of,
Well, we do house rule it by just not using Mercs.
That's true.
And we don't use the Rebs very much either. And the thing is also we said is to make it fun to lose. Like, it's fine to lose if it's fun, right? And as long as you find if they can find a way in the scenarios, make it fun to lose.
And we've long standing since the dawn of time, we've had a discussion about mercs and heroes being different. And that is something that, the game balance of the models themselves and the factions, we there's nothing we can do about that. That'd be way too much work to house rule, but I think it is something in general the community can discuss.
Yeah, fix it. Yeah, I think I'm almost positive the Mercs will get a point change in Infestation, the new book, just because they are really wrong. Like, the numbers are just off. Like, Nastane's only cost, like, five more than, like, Dr. Simmons. Like, there's no way that those two are that close in points. Like,
and Nastanza is OP to the point where it's almost an embarrassment.
Yeah, sad.
And like, Simmons is...
useless.
Just a sliver above a baseline
troop. Is she even a sliver above a baseline troop? Like, she... I don't even know if... Maybe because she has leadership is the only difference.
Yeah, so, like...
But she can't use it because she's a merc. She has leadership she can't even use.
So, there is definitely there. Again, that's above our pay grade.
But, yeah. Well, we can... If either of us really want it... Some of the things... It's Simmons and Howlett. And there's certain ones... Recon. Like, those ones... I think Recon's point-wise is not horrible. But definitely Howlett. He's way too expensive for what he does.
Any ones that are based solely on a faction that they are aligned with, that we would have called heroes,
yeah,
their points have to drop dramatically.
Because yeah. You can look at what the troop in their faction, how much they generally cost, and you can see what they're worth, and they're not worth twice. Like, I think Howlett's the same price as a captain. And they're, like, a captain, way better armor, better guns, better, yeah, like, he's got leadership. Like, there's, yeah, the point costs are really wrong for certain ones. So that wraps it up. We've not really, because we're going to talk about weapons next week.
Yeah, that's one last thing, and I'm glad you brought that up, that you wanted to discuss.
It just occurred to me. It occurred to me that the blast was wrong, and then you're like, weapons, and I was like, yes,
because the grenades. Now we're talking about flavor and stuff, not necessarily rules that could be changed in the next game, but just how I would like to see changes. Now, that's a different thing, but we're going to discuss it. We're going to talk.
Yep, we'll talk. And we'll have a short break. We'll hear from the Strike Zone, and we'll be right back to talk about some other things.
It is time for a brief message from our friends at Warmore Radio.
It's time to enter the Strike Zone.
The Strike Zone podcast is the ultimate guide to the miniature sports game, Dreadball. From the ringside seats of an underground Dreadball Extreme match to the glitz and glamour of Dreadball Classic, the Strike Zone strives to bring you the latest and greatest Dreadball has to offer. I am your host, Adam, a.k.a. Mr. Voxman, and you can find out more at warmoreradio.com.
Welcome back to the Dead Zone Podcast. It is shout-outs time.
Welcome back to the Dead Zone Podcast. That was an excellent commercial.
always good to have the Strike Zone commercials in there. And right now we're going to have some shout-outs.
Nice shout-outs. Talking to our peeps.
Our first show is from Gareth H. Graham. On Facebook, he sent us a nice message saying, just want to say, huge fan of the podcast, and it inspired me to order it into South Africa. So he's getting some South African Dead Zone going.
Oh.
So that's nice to hear.
That is very nice.
Dead Zone's invading South Africa.
Gareth, how did you find our podcast without playing Dead Zone?
Yeah, how'd you stumble upon that anthill?
I'm just curious. And then listen to it long enough to get interested in the game. For me, that's interesting. I have to know. Gareth, Mr. Graham, please let us know.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for the nice message. And he did message me on Facebook. It's Rob Harper on Facebook. If you want to befriend me, that's fine. I'm all good for it. You'll get some weird posts from me in the timelines, but it's all good.
Yeah.
And our next shout-out's from Daria Winter, Uber Fan Daria.
Number one fan Daria.
Obviously, BTGamer_Winter on Twitter. And she made up some her Enforcers. An interesting color scheme. It's like a almost lava-like. Like very...
Like it's definitely a cam pattern, but not desert, not urban. It's like a unique...
Yeah, it's cool.
Very nice.
Really well-painted Enforcers there. The pictures will be up on the website. And yeah. She also did a special tribute to my colleague... Jack. She did Jack Haraku Fike. She voices the Haraku in our Dead Zone, Enter the Dead Zone audio podcast, the plays. So she made up her own stage one, and she named him after Jack. Painted up in the Jack style.
Yes, very much so.
A little bit more blue than Jack's. Jack's got more green going on. But
yeah, but yeah, that's...
I like her face is just like the way you did yours, which I think is hilarious.
Yeah, yeah. I very well done, Daria. Very well done.
So it's if you guys, anybody out there wants to send us pictures and get a shout out, send it either to our Twitter, it's a Dead Zone Podcast on Twitter, or email them at deadzonepodcast@gmail.com, and we'll give you some shout outs.
And if you want to name one of your stage ones after me, Jack is a fine name for a stage one.
And if you want to name your sentry gun after me, I would take that.
Rob. Rob the sentry gun?
Yes, I want a sentry gun named after me.
Well, there you go, people. Let's get to it. We would need some sentry guns named Rob.
So from there, we'll move on to our stuff. Jack, hey, got anything you've been working on Dead Zone-wise?
Dead Zone-wise, no.
Guess what?
Not a thing.
I haven't worked anything Dead Zone-wise either.
No, we have not received anything Dead Zone through any kind of... You know, Kickstarter.
No, Kickstarter's not until January. So.
There, no crazy boxes.
We did get a bunch of just came in. Dreadball Extreme, the second shipment came in, and we're looking at the Crystallins.
Yeah,
and we're talking about how we could easily turn those into a Dead Zone army, a little squad.
Yeah, Dead Zone Crystallins. Some of them lend themselves well. Well, some of them lend themselves to doing a high five over a victory.
That too.
But also, some of them, one looks like he's shooting.
He's got like an arm gun. One guy is the injured one on the ground, but he's pointing like he's loading a gun. So we're like, that'd be cool howitzer or like a mortar team.
Yeah, him, and there's another one that looked like you put those together with a mortar from the stage one mortar team. Yeah. So the stage three mortar teams from the plague.
You could get four or five miniatures out of it, probably.
So if you weren't playing.
Yep, playing Dreadball, which we have so much Dreadball, I doubt we will ever. We could easily use it as Dead Zone stuff. Plus, there was the Iron Ancestor Giant for Dreadball. He's a little small to be a Strider, but he could be a semi-Strider. And there's a giant spider, which is cool. Giant mechanical spider.
That was just an interesting model.
It could easily be turned into like a, from Ghost in the Shell, those remember Ghost in the Shell, the movie?
No.
There's like the spider guys in them. Crab guys, more like crab. But... And what else was there? There's a bunch of different characters that could be easily turned into
a psionic team that was in there.
And a plastic Chovar, which is really nice. It's just like the Chovar. That's easily. That's just like the Chovar.
Yeah.
Psychic. So.
Yeah, but he had a horn. He like a rhinoceros horn on him.
Did he?
Yeah.
I didn't notice that. And yeah, so.
And also Kings of War.
Yeah, that's another thing we've been working on.
Yeah, we've been testing the water, getting some armies built up, and we'll play that maybe.
So yes, we've been working on Kings of War, and that's taken away from doing anything from Dead Zone. I've been still working on the flying carrier thing.
Oh yeah, yeah.
From Mad Mecha Guy. Still working on that. So we'll take a break, and speaking of Kings of War, here's some Counter Charge.
Countercharge. Countercharge is the first podcast totally dedicated to the game Kings of War. Join your hosts Andrew, Mark, and Rob as they delve into the world of Mantica and bring you in-depth coverage of all things Kings of War. You can find us on iTunes and at OhioHammer.com, a proud member of the Ohio Hammer Network of Podcasts.
And now, back to your hosts, Rob Harper and Jack Pike. We now present to you a Dead Zone Battle Report.
So we're back, and we'll go into a quick battle report. We have some pictures on the nice, fancy mats.
Was that the Mats by Mars?
It is the Mats by Mars.
You can tell. Look at that.
It's a swamp. But I played my friend Dave, and...
It is pronounced Dave.
Dave. I played the Peacekeepers. He played Marauders for the first game. I stupidly took it easy on him because I was like, yeah, it's his only second game playing. And meanwhile, Dave rolls like a maniac.
Yeah, he's blessed. He's got a golden horseshoe up his posterior because he's... I've never met anyone who's just able to... Pull rolls out of his ass, like, at will.
It is. And he was on an infiltrate mission, I was on a kill mission, and his mobby swarmed my peacekeeper leader, but it only took one of them to kill him. Oh, right. One mobby killed a peacekeeper leader. And,
Remember that time when my plague dog killed your Teraton?
Yeah, this was worse, because then these guys are tougher.
Yeah, but he didn't do this.
And his goblin sniper got a lucky shot at another of my guys. And another one was killed by Mobby. So the next time I play Dave, he dies.
Yeah, you can't take it easy. That's like taking it easy on Refik. He has
a rule. Another friend. He doesn't roll well, but he knows every rule and every way to get around.
He's a rules lawyer. He just skims the book. Next thing you know, he's up. making combos and min and maxing, and just it's shameful.
It is shameful. So no more taking it easy on these people. They don't deserve it.
Dave, next time you're going down.
And lastly, we'll talk about the Warpath rules from the Alpha we've been going through. Quickly go through them. This time we will talk about command. We mentioned it earlier.
So go over this. Certain teams have a command stat, and therefore are commanders, obviously. And all command values in a force combine for command dice pool. And the good thing about that is all the commanders together. It's like a teamwork. And losing commanders does not reduce the pool, which is also kind of good to keep it simple. And special dice are used during the game to issue orders. And each unit can have one order. And certain, as you give a certain number of dice to each unit, that's how many orders dice you get to roll for them. And then the more successes you get, the more orders you can give them. Or the better orders you can give them, I should say. And there's no max orders per turn, as long as you have enough command dice. So you just give dice out to all different units. And orders are always done on your turn, unless stated otherwise. There's a few that are different. And they have a 12-inch range from your commander. And grounded commanders can't give orders. And the special dice are rolled, the symbols are compared, and some orders take multiple symbols to succeed, which is why you might give units extra dice. And examples of orders are things like at level 1, we have Courage Under Fire, which removes suppression from a unit. And then there is also something called Firestorm, and an unactivated unit can shoot and reroll his misses. There's another one called Move, 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 and that performs a double move into terrain or triple normal move, which is good to get your guys moving quick. And we also have Counterattack, which give a unit about to make a give a unit about to get charged a charge reaction. And they charge the attackers instead of getting charged, which is kind of fun. And level 2 things are like Call to Arms, which remove all suppression in units in a radius equal to your command stat, which is kind of cool. Combined Attack, which you activate two different units at the same time, and it counts as a single action, which is good for getting your groups together to wail on one unit with a couple. A Refresh removes activation token from a unit, I should say. So you can use that unit again. Reserves, at the beginning of the game, you can choose not to deploy certain units, and you can use this order to bring these units on any edge near the commander. And if the unit has a commander in it that's coming on, they can move in from any edge, which is good for sneak attacks and things like that. And level 3 has Last Stand, which gives you the last turn of the game. It gives you the ability to extend the game one more turn, and it can't be used more than once, but it gives your guys a chance to maybe get that last hit in to win the game. And also, all the factions have unique orders they can use, and we'll discuss those next time when we talk about the factions, but there's only certain factions in the Alpha, so we'll go over those ones next time.
Do you have anything to say about command in Warpath, Jack?
No.
Wow, well, that was helpful.
That was insightful, I know. That was, just as a quick glossary of the rules that we're doing, seems pretty straightforward.
Yep, and so that pretty much wraps up this episode of Dead Zone the Podcast.
Another one in the can.
Yep, and we'll be back to record more and talk about weapons. Write us.
Yes.
And yeah, so until next time, I'm Rob.
And I'm Jack.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Dead Zone Podcast. I have been your announcer, William Randolph Wintergreen. Visit the website, deadzonegame.podbean.com. Email your hosts at deadzonepodcast@gmail.com. On Twitter, you can follow the show at Dead Zone Podcast. The Dead Zone Podcast is a production of Vinland Old Time Radio Productions.
The new Dead Zone logo, you already showed me that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you did.
Not at the podcast.
No, I'm just saying, if you're worried about me not being what, like, hey, make pretend like you've seen it. No, I have seen it.
Oh, you can see it. Analyze.
I think I already have looked up close. Yeah. So,
something to say about it?
Yeah, it's a logo.
Save it for the show, that excitement. Hold it back.
You have been listening to the Dead Zone Podcast. And now, a word from the fine folks at Vinland Old Time Radio.
Jack! Is that you, the ghost of Christmas past?
No, I'm the ghost of podcast future.
I'm intrigued. Do tell me more.
The future of podcasts is bringing real-time radio. I know it sounds oxymoronic, but it's not.
Where can I find this podcast?
It's the realtimeradio.podbean.com.
And how many doubloons will that cost me?
It's free, unlike my soul. Bye, Dagonia, bye.
You, boy, what day is it today?
It's Canada Day, it seems.
Well, go buy that biggest Christmas goose in the window.
That makes no sense. I'm just taking your money and leaving.
Finland Old Time Radio.podbean.com.